You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Justin. We are the Epic Film Guys, and we'd like just a moment of your time to talk about an extremely important event coming up this May.
Last year, we hosted the Live Stream for the Cure, a 12-hour live stream fundraiser where we raised $2,500 for the Cancer Research Institute.
86 cents out of every dollar raised goes to research toward finding a cure.
And this year, we're aiming to smash that goal, and we need your help to do it.
Join us from May 18th through the 20th for 30 hours of amazing live stream content from us and a whole host of amazing podcasters who will be joining us to try to reach $5,000.
For more information, please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com. Together, we can make a difference. Welcome, everyone, to another special minisode event as we lead in to the release of Infinity War, Avengers Infinity War, that is, Justin, the big smash 'em up, 10 years in the making, massive Marvel thing that they're doing. I don't know what you want to call it. Hi, Justin.
Lots of characters, lots of villains. Lots of things happening, lots of people fighting each other. It's the end of an era, so to speak, because we've led up to this after 10 years of watching these movies, and everyone is super excited about it. There hasn't been an event movie like this in a while, I feel like, with so many movies, actually ever, where there's been that many movies, solo movies, sequels, team-up movies, you know, leading up to one point where you know that shit's going to hit the fan. I'm super excited. As you said, you could feel it in the air, man. When you go to the movies, you see the poster, you hear people talking about it. Like, this is the end-all be-all, I feel like, for the genre. This has to be good. So in preparation for this, we decided, yes, we were going to maybe somewhat suffer through talking about some movies that we said at one point we might not ever talk about again. So ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be talking about this evening Phase 2 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Now this is interesting. This is unique in the history of most of this, because you lived up here back during most of these Phase 2 movies, so let's see. You and I went to see. Did we go to see every single one of these together, or was it
three,
almost all of them?
No. I moved here and saw two of them after.
So that would have been Avengers
and
Ant-Man.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
And Age of Ultron and Ant-Man, yeah.
Yep. So we saw Iron Man 3 together. We saw Thor the Dark World together. We saw Captain America Winter Soldier. And we saw Guardians of the Galaxy together. And we did video review, I think, was it just of Guardians? I think we just did a video review of Guardians. That was after
the video
version of the Epic Film Guys podcast started. And that was one of those videos we posted on YouTube a long time ago where I got a bunch of death threats just because I shit all over it.
You did. You were a hateful entity against that film.
Oh, yes.
And I was a little bit more kind to it, and I have over the years. I mean, let's face it, that film was 4 years ago, so I have definitely kind of really warmed up to it a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with this.
We're going to talk about Phase 2, and I will make no secret about this. I think that Phase 2 is, by a country mile, the worst of anything that Marvel's ever done, period. Like, just really just absolute complete shit and garbage. Justin just shut off his camera. He's so angry at the thought of talking about Marvel Phase 2. Did your
did
camera
really?
Time out
I
on
did.
You? Yeah.
It did. It timed out. Oh, man. I did not specifically turn that off on you. No, I'm not doing anything under the table here that I don't want you to see. Because to be fair, you already know that if I was doing something, I'd want you to see it.
So yes.
I'm not hiding anything here. Nothing to be hid on the Epic Film Guys podcast. But no, I mean, to be fair, let's get it out of the way. Okay, so Phase 2 started with probably the only Marvel film that pissed me off so bad that when I walked out of the theater, This is back when you and I would actually go to a movie together. We would have beers beforehand. We would go watch the movie. And then sometimes we would just sit in your car and talk for sometimes 30 minutes and sometimes like 4 hours in the car after we saw the movie, whether we loved it or hated it, really wanted to actually just flesh out our thoughts on it and get it out of the way, because that was what we did. And Iron Man 3 was that film. Iron Man 3 was that first movie that, you know, out of all of them, I was like, man, you're really going to give me that movie after Avengers, which is one of the best comic book movies ever made? I mean, go back in time a little bit, Nick, to 2013. Think about it. Do you remember the night? I remember we went and saw it at AMC in Vestal together. It was a midnight showing we saw. And I couldn't have been more disappointed.
In Marvel, in Phase 1 overall was good. I really enjoyed the films in Phase 1, except for Iron Man 2, probably, because that film was more of a mess than anything else. But it ended on a high note. It ended with Avengers, which is still pound for pound one of the top films the MCU has ever put out. And then they follow it up with Iron Man 3. And let's get this out here from the onset, Justin. We're not comic readers. So we don't approach Iron Man 3 from this aspect of everybody else, like, oh my god, the Mandarin's this big awesome character in the comics and you made him a joke, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't care about what he is in the comics because I don't read comic books. Justin doesn't read comic books. So, but the villain twist didn't work for you. It didn't work for me either. We didn't like it. It just didn't work for us.
And if you're gonna tell me you're gonna give me the Mandarin, even though I don't read comics, I do know who the Mandarin is. I do know enough about a movie where leading up to it, I do my research. And I did, as I said on our Phase 1 retrospective, I did grow up watching the Iron Man cartoon in the 90s. And, you know, so, and when I was younger, I did read comics. It's just as an adult, I don't do it currently. So when I got that as the villain, I go, dude, the Mandarin to Iron Man is like what the Joker is to Batman, you know, what Clown is to Spawn, you name it. He is the arch nemesis of our title hero. And when we got Ben Kingsley cast in the role, you're like, dude, how is this perfect not going to be amazing? And then, of course, it turned out not being the case at all. Actually, it turned out being one of the most disappointing things ever. And we have Guy Pearce in the film. Okay, and I love Guy Pearce. Let's make no mistake there. But thinking about this movie just makes me frustrated, because over time since this movie, I mean, I've really grown to love everything else Shane Black has done. And up until that point, knowing nice that guys. Shane Black was doing it got me really excited. You know, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, everything he's done. I actually almost every single thing else he's done or been involved with, I love. Except for Iron Man 3, and it's very frustrating to me. But I will say this much, Nick, and I'm not going to totally hate on Iron Man 3 in every way, because I feel like as a character piece for Tony Stark, I feel like it is probably the strongest out of any solo Iron Man movie that's out there.
I wouldn't disagree with that at all. I actually would agree with that 100%. But I think the problem is that it, and I get what the film's going for. The film wants to sell that the villain isn't always the big flashy, you know, centerpiece that you see. But the problem is that after they dispel the whole thing and, oh, the Mandarin's really just an actor, Ben Kingsley's just an actor, and Ben Kingsley is great in the film, I don't want to take that away from him.
He's hilarious. Yeah, he's
great. Guy Pearce legitimately strolls through this fucking film after this, chewing so much goddamn scenery. Like, I'm surprised there were sets left by the end of it. He was chewing so much of it. He was so fucking ridiculously over the top. It was absurd. And, I mean, this is really, Phase 2 is where Marvel's villains, and Justin and I, when this podcast started, we hated on Marvel all the time because we hated their villains. And Phase 2 is really where their villains started to just start taking massive shits every single film. It was, how bad is this going
to be? I would have to say that out of, as you just said, Phase 2 is like the worst out of the phases we've gotten so far. It is the worst phase for villains as well.
By far. So Iron Man 3, the twist just doesn't work for me. Like the twist, like I said, if you would have made Guy Pearce a better villain, and I think he's just not interesting. He's just not, like, you don't buy the retribution that he wants to get against Tony. You just, it just doesn't ring true. He just is like this butthurt douchebag. And
exactly.
Then he just fucking goes about chewing up scenery. And it's just like, you went with this whole thing. You had Ben fucking Kingsley cast in the role. You made him, you know, this amazing, like, intense, formidable villain. And then you just immediately job it away and sweep it away. And then you just like I said, you bring in Guy Pearce, and he's just like, I'm the Mandarin. Like, he was so fucking absurdly. Like, he was more over the top than Arnold is Mr. Freeze. He was. He was that fucking over the top for me. Just insane.
But Arnold as Mr. Freeze is enjoyable and one of the best movie villains of all time.
Movie villain of all time.
Let's find that
unlikely.
See, he even finds that unlikely.
Exactly. But I mean, there are some scenes in Iron Man 3 that I really enjoy. Like I said, as a character piece for the character of Tony Stark, we both agree that it's really good.
Yeah, it does do some good character work.
His relationship with
Pepper
Potts, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow is fantastic in it, as little as we see her in the film. And one of my favorite scenes is when Stark's at his home and it gets like basically bombed and blown away and destroyed. Yeah. I liked that scene. There are little things that I like about
some
it, but
good
as
set
a film,
pieces, yeah.
Walking away, I mean, when you look at Iron Man, as we talked about in our phase one retrospective, it is one of the staples. It is one of the best comic book movies ever, one of the most enjoyable. And you could blame Favreau for that, even though he did direct Iron Man 2, which we did not care for. Iron Man 3, I don't know what they were going for with it, but it didn't work for me, and it didn't work for a lot of people. But moving on from that, Nick, to what I would consider probably, definitely in my opinion, I would say the second worst, if not the worst, Marvel film, Marvel Cinematic Universe film that's been released ever, Thor: The Dark World. Oh my God, they sleptwalked through this fucking movie. There's nothing redeeming about this movie at all to me, other than the exchanges between Thor and Loki, which of course that's a given. But other than that, man, it features the worst. Okay, I'll say the second worst Marvel villain ever put to screen.
Shut
up! Oh no.
Fuck this movie. What a fucking piece of shit. Jesus Christ. You take Christopher Eccleston, who's a great actor, and you give him, like, legitimately Malekith the Dark. What a fucking piece of shit this villain was. This was really, truly the phase where Marvel just straight up did not give a fuck. And you put Alan fucking Taylor in the chair, and he just turns out one of the most mediocre pieces of shit. This is why Thor Ragnarok went in such a radically different direction, this film, because it's so bad. The villain's bad. You've still got Natalie Portman, who's a fantastic actress. They just don't know what to do with her. Like, nobody cares.
And she sleepwalks through it. And she didn't want to come back for it in the first place. Let's make that clear. She fought tooth and nail to try to get out of it.
It was supposed to have a female director originally, and then they brought in Taylor, because I think they were supposed to have a female director, and then she championed the female director, and she almost walked with her, but I think she was under contract or something like that.
She was under contract. That's right. She couldn't get out of the contract, so she stuck there along with this mediocre shit film, and it shows. I mean, let's make this clear. The chemistry between our main cast is there. That's always going to be there in Marvel movies, because they always have
Hemsworth
that right.
Is
they
still
cast
great in the role,
the right people. Yeah, Hemsworth's great in the role. Hopkins is not as good in this one. But I mean, of course, Loki shines. Hiddleston as Loki is fantastic. Portman just looks like she doesn't want to be there. We've seen her in plenty of movies where she looks that way. You could tell, like, hey, I'm getting paid like $3.5 million for a woman. She probably got paid like $300,000 for this movie, to be fair, to be honest. But there's nothing fun about this movie. There's nothing entertaining about this movie. Everything that made us love the first Thor film, and I know you'll go out on a limb and talk about this a little bit more, that Shakespearean aspect of the first film out the window.
Yeah.
And you think by going into Asgard a little bit more would make you enjoy it a little bit more? Not at all.
Yeah, it's Kenneth Branagh directed the first Thor film, and a lot of people like to give it shit, but I really love that Shakespearean feeling that he gave to Asgard. All the Asgard scenes, I love the father-son relationship that he builds between Odin and Loki, and Odin and Thor, and then the brotherly relationship between Thor and Loki is great. The stuff that continues on from the first film, like, those relationships are still by far the best aspect of this. But let's be 100% honest, you get a man in the chair who has legitimately the briefest wisp of talent that is quickly blown away, like, off it flies. And then you just have a story that just has a villain that is meaningless. When you take your villain, and this is when we really started shitting on Marvel villains, was their entire villain's backstory and his entire purpose is explained in like a 60-second prologue. And that's it. That's all you ever get out of that fucking villain. He was it was just terrible. It was just a horrible, and here's horrible the thing. Piece of shit.
He could have been really cool, too. The idea of Thor, the quote-unquote dark world, could have been amazing. I love the way that the dark elves looked. I loved everything about that sense of it. But, like, they didn't do anything to develop them. And when we see them, they're, like, they're worthless. They're weak. They don't do anything. There's no great fight at the end that I felt had any impact. I mean, just nothing about the movie in any way. Even as just a regular action blockbuster, nothing.
I'm awake.
Nothing.
I'm awake. I can't even talk about it anymore because it's just that bad. It is just that bad. But fortunately, Justin, fortunately.
Yeah, moving on from that, Nick,
Yeah. On the heels of that, and I think pound for pound, I think whenever you have a discussion or whenever you rank the films in the MCU, this film's got to be number one, or it's got to be close to number one, like within the top two or top three. We're talking, of course, about Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and
it's a fan favorite, man. I mean, this for me is definitely in my top. I've never sat down to actually physically rank them. I know that a lot of people are probably expecting us to do that, but we never actually set out to sit down and rank these. Maybe we will after we watch Infinity War, but for me, this is the film that resonated with me the most, I feel like, out of Phase 2, most definitely above and beyond, and still resonates with me a little bit more than a lot of the Marvel spectacles have been since, because it's such a great character piece for Cap, and it's just so damn good.
There's a reason that the Russos have basically been given the keys to the kingdom. As far as the MCU is concerned, there's a reason why they come back to do Civil War and why they're directing both of the Avengers films, Infinity War and whatever the sequel to Infinity War is going to end up being. There's a reason why. There's a reason why, because this film is as good as it is. Now, I have problems with this film. I still dislike the fact that you only get legitimately like 3 minutes or 4 minutes of screen time from Bucky in this film. Jared did make a good point last week when we were talking about this, though, that Hydra's really the main villain of this film.
It's I agree with him. I do agree with him on that. But even I do still, agree with him. But yeah, again, not to cut you off there, but dude, he's so fucking good in it, though. And those scenes are so good with him in Cabinet, and the fights are so good with him in it. You're like, dude, why can't I have more of that? You know,
yeah.
it really teases you a little bit where you're like, dude, that's a little bit more of the movie that I wanted out of this. Because make no mistake, this film features the best hand-to-hand combat in the whole, out of any of the Marvel films.
Well, and let's talk about that as well. Let's talk about the action set pieces in this film versus especially the two films that preceded it in Phase 2. Both basically super effects heavy orgasms. And this film was shot much more practically, much more realistically.
Yes.
Where you get to get in there with Cap, you feel those punches. The action set pieces in the Winter Soldier are fantastic. Even the car chase with Fury is fantastic.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. I love it. It's one of my favorites. It's got like an espionage political thriller feel to it, and that's what they're doing. And make no mistake, we're fully aware of this, that with each one of these movies, they're like, hey, let's make this a heist thriller. Hey, let's make this a political thriller action movie. They're really trying to do something different with each one of these movies. Hey, let's make this a fantasy, you know, a fun fantasy action spectacle. Everything they're trying to do is specific to the property they're handling at that time. And that's why when we saw The Winter Soldier, for me at least, like, it took me back a little bit. I was like, whoa, I loved the first Captain America, but I mean, there's no question. This is probably one of my favorite solo Marvel films.
Easily
top
three
for me. Solo.
Easily top three. Probably my number two, if I were to be honest. Probably my number two.
Wow. Only behind what?
The first Avengers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. See, because at this point, nothing's been able to beat Avengers, but we're going to get into Phase 3 when we get to Phase 3, so bear with us, guys.
Yep.
Seriously, because there's a lot to talk about here, but this movie really hit a nerve in the sense that, like I said, the hand-to-hand combat is great. It's gritty. It's got that muted tone to it, that muted look. And the character stuff for Cap is perfect. It's just brilliant. We get introduced to Falcon as well, who's a great character. We get to see grow a lot in the films that happen after this. And his relationship with Black Widow and Scarlett Johansson is just fantastic. I mean, she's great in all of these movies, but in this one, I feel like she had more opportunity to have a performance because there's the slower parts of it where there's just more dialogue and they're, you know, when they're stuck in the bunker and, you know, that's the stuff that I really like to see a little bit more out of the female characters in the MCU. And I really love this film so much. I agree with you. I really love Sebastian Stan as Bucky a lot. The main thing that it's I had a problem with, and you and I both agreed on this. He was so good,
you just wanted that much more of him, you know, to be honest.
It's the most development you get for that character is in the end credits scene. When he goes to the museum and he kind of tries to figure out who he is and who Cap is, and he's trying to remember things and he's trying to regain his memory, that to me was very frustrating because that's the stuff that I would have preferred to see a little bit more in the actual meat of the film rather than all the way at the end. Again, when you put the character's name in the title of the movie, and the trailers definitely, Nick, I'm sure you remember, the trailers definitely led you to believe, like,
I'm pretty sure most of Bucky's screen time, if not all of it, is in the trailers for Winter Soldier because there's so little of it.
Exactly. So that's literally my only, we both gave the Winter Soldier a great rating. I would still continue to give it a great rating
Great film.
I love it to death. It's one of the best comic book movies ever made, right up there with the Avengers, the Dark Knight, you name it. So I have nothing more bad to say about it other than just more Winter Soldier. Would have liked more Winter Soldier.
All right. Well, to move on from there to a film that unfortunately we're going to be pretty split on because I'm standing on an island alone when it comes to this movie. We're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. And I know I'm going to let you love up on this film before I start shitting on it. So I'll let you have at.
I mean, well, I feel like here's the thing, though. I feel like you don't shit on it as much as you're more disappointed by it because there are things about these movies that even though you act like you shit on it, you love a lot of things about them.
Well, it's not like you're going in and you're saying, like, from the onset, let me say this about it from the onset, worst villain in Marvel, period. Ronan the Accused is by far Marvel's worst villain. I would say he's the worst villain because he has what his plan is and with the power that he has with the Infinity Stone that he has, he instead decides to just not fucking do anything with it and instead just watch Peter Quill fucking dance. Like, he is pound for pound the worst fucking villain. And I'm sorry, but for me to make a great hero or to make a great group of heroes, even though I absolutely love the chemistry amongst the entire group of the actual Guardians of the Galaxy, Ronan is, he's just so terrible. He sucks away so much of the energy and so much of the goodness that this film could have been. And, you know, Lee Pace is a great fucking actor, but I'm sorry. It's just, he's terrible. Ronan the Accused is fucking terrible.
Okay. So all that aside, I will admit openly, if you go back and listen to our original YouTube video review, which is still on channel right now, it's there. Go listen to it. I was a little bit more harsh on the film. I mean, I came into it knowing that it was getting so much love. And I love James Gunn. Dude, I love Slither. I love everything he had done prior to that. And he's a great talent. I love his sensibilities as a director. And I still love what he did with Guardians of the Galaxy to this day. But I do agree with Nick in the sense that at the time, like, really what I was frustrated with is that, again, villain. Like, dude, I really want a good villain. And in every one of these movies, we may even get potential. I feel like there was a lot of potential for a great villain out of Ronan in this. And he just became, again, another random, generic, I'm going to do this because that's what I'm set here to do. And a villain is supposed to do these things. So I'm going to, you know, run of the mill, paint by numbers, go through the action. That's what you used to call Marvel, paint by numbers because of that.
And the biggest, problem I have with Ronan the Accused isn't that he doesn't have the power to execute his plan and he's thwarted by the heroes. It's because he is let down by the script. You know what holds Ronan the Accused back? Do you know what defeats Ronan the Accused? It's the fucking script of this film. He has an Infinity Stone. He has the ability to do all of this fucking shit. He lands on the fucking planet and he just watches Peter Quill fucking dance. It's so insulting to me as an audience member that I'm just like you have this guy that has this kind of power and this is what he says his objective is, but then he might as well just be standing there fucking masturbating and blowing his load on the camera right in my face as a fucking audience member, because that's what I felt like watching Ronan the Accused. You take all the good things about this movie, the amazing chemistry amongst this fucking team. Dave Bautista as fucking Drax is amazing in this fucking movie. I love, love, love Chris Pratt. I love him from Parks and Rec. I love him as Peter Quill.
Dude, the whole cast of this is amazing. Yeah, Zoe Saldana
is fucking amazing. Even Vin Diesel saying three words Rocket Raccoon. Great.
Come on, we're talking about it right now. The cast of this movie is definitely make no mistake, one of the best out of any Marvel film ever released. And the chemistry that this team has together, it's a team up movie.
It's great.
And it's a great throwback to retro movies with all the little throwbacks. And it's not forced. It's not forced the way that I thought that Ready Player One was forced, where the music fits. The soundtrack is so amazing. This is the movie that set off the whole trend of having your whole movie soundtrack filled with retro rock and roll songs. And ever since then, every movie's tried to copycat it and tried to replicate it. Yeah, and none have come close.
Including one insanely shitty movie from the DCEU, Suicide Squad. Yeah. Sorry. Something yeah.
Let's not ever talk about that one again. But I mean, I had a lot of problems with this initially, but the more and more I watched this movie, Nick, I fell in love with the great aspects of it. And I kind of just took the villain aspect of it and threw it in the backseat. I totally get what you're saying, dude. I still have those feelings about it, but all the positives outweigh the negatives. And when I sit back and watch this movie, it is by far probably the most fun movie that Marvel has ever put out. This far.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
It's definitely got those fun aspects to it. I can't deny anything that you're saying. I think that's just the difference between us as viewers watching this film, because I can't take that stuff and just throw it in the backseat. For me, like I said, to make a great group of heroes, you need a great villain to menace them. Not a villain who basically, like I said, he might as well just be standing there with his dick in his hand, because that's what I felt like he was doing that entire fucking movie, was just standing there with his dick in his hand.
Well, this was at the point, though, and we have yet to really reflect on this. We might as well bring this up when we're talking about this movie. Another huge problem that the both of us had with this phase especially is that this phase focused even more on the world building aspect than phase one. I mean, it started a lot more in the end of phase one, but in this phase, it was like it really ramped it up, and it was like more about building the world and leading to the next big spectacle film than really focusing on the film at hand.
Yeah. Way, way worse than any of the other phases, because you had, you know, basically entire plots in it. We'll talk about this when we talk about the next film as well, because the next film is huge. It's the biggest problem as far as I'm concerned with Age of Ultron. But you have all these massive scenes where you have these characters, like they go and meet the collector, and he tells them this whole thing about the Infinity Stones, and it's all just seeds, planting seeds for all this little stuff. And it's fine to do world building if you do it in small doses. But the problem is in a lot of these phase two films, especially, it's not in small doses. It's fucking shovelfuls. You get buried by the shit. And Age of Ultron, which we'll talk about next, is by far the worst offender of that by a country mile.
Well, I might as well get it out of the way, Nick. Let's get it out of the way, because we're moving from one movie that I'd watch any night of the week with a few beers with some friends to a movie that, even though I own it on Blu-ray, I decided this. Now, I'm not sure if you know this or not, but I had said after we watched this one that I'd never watch it again. And one day I was in the grocery store down the street from me.
And you watched it in the grocery store?
No. They had it in this aisle, Nick, where they offer used, at a grocery store, used Blu-rays and DVDs.
Wow.
And they had Age of Ultron used on Blu-ray. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give this one a second chance. There are a couple scenes in this that I really enjoyed. I'll give it another chance. And when this movie has Avengers as its main title, and you watch it a second time and you're like, okay, I'll give it a second shot, it's still one of the most disappointing movies they ever put out.
It stinks. It stinks. It stinks.
Exactly.
Dude, those trailers were so good. Do you remember those trailers? Go back in time. Go back to 2015. Think about those trailers that hit. Were they not like the best, most exciting trailers ever?
This film had so much promise. You have James Spader, who is one of the greatest character actors of our generation. He can imbue any character with the greatest amount of life. He is amazing. You cast him as Ultron. Perfect casting. You're bringing the Avengers back together. You're bringing in Ulysses Klaue for the first time. Andy Serkis, absolutely amazing. You have the Hulkbuster versus Hulk fight, which is by far this film's best asset.
Oh, it definitely is.
Far.
Love it.
Absolutely love that action set piece. And then the problem with this film is, as we talked about, and a lot of people like to shit on the Hawkeye aspect of this film. I will actually defend that, because I really think it was really good.
I like
to focus
it. I like
on
it too.
Hawkeye as kind of that, like, representation of humanity and in the face of all these like godlike beings and whatnot that have all these powers. And it was really, really great to see his character develop. You get Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, who are basically just shit. Just especially Quicksilver. Aaron Taylor Johnson is Quicksilver. Especially you got Days of Future Past this same year, and Days of Future Past Quicksilver blows this motherfucker out of the water by a thousand.
Evan Peters really knocked it out of the park. And in the sense that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in this movie, they're a second thought to what we were seeing in the forefront. They're just there to be there just because they can be there. And there was that little back and forth between, you know, at the time, Fox and Marvel and what was going on. And they're both trying to get out these characters at the same time.
Ugh.
And you know, the whole thing at the end, you know, let's face it. If you haven't seen the film yet, I'm sorry if you haven't, but the whole sacrificing of characters you just introduced in the film, there's no stake in it.
It's weightless.
It means nothing.
Care.
There's no emotion to it. You don't care. And this film features, I'd probably say, not the worst, but the most disappointing villain at any of them, because you had the most potential. As you said earlier on with Ronan, this is probably, for me, the most disappointing because he looks awesome. He sounds awesome. You could do so much with him. Yet he ends up turning into the most weak-minded Saturday morning cartoon that you've ever seen in a comic book movie. Yep. And I really, really love Joss Whedon. I really do. Let's not hate on him for his mistakes as much as, you know, really just put him up on your shoulders for the great stuff that he's done. But in this case, we know that this is the movie where he decided he wasn't going to make any more Marvel movies because of the simple fact that, guess what? Marvel meddled with his movie. They had more creative input than he had in the film, and they really took it over and really changed the movie he wanted to make. He's come out on record and said it many times. And who knows what this movie could have been if they hadn't gone in and really made him do their bidding. And I don't know what that would have been. I have no idea what it would have been. There's no way to ever know at this point. But I feel like this movie could have been really good. Do I think it could have lived up to the first Avengers? No, but I think it could have been the best part of Phase 2 outside of the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, and the biggest problem that this film has for me, as we mentioned before, is the world building. There's a whole fucking subplot in the third act of this movie where fucking Thor wanders off and goes to this fucking vision pool and sees all these fucking different visions of all this different shit that's supposed to happen. The film, you know, has that whole Scarlet Witch thing where she makes Tony Stark see all the Avengers dead, and that's why he dreams up the whole Avengers thing. There's so much world building in this goddamn film. It's, you just got to tell the fucking story. Let all that stuff sit in the background. You don't need to dedicate entire fucking plots to it. And then I've lamented this a lot of times when we talk about superhero films, is that superhero films as a genre seem to have this trope where they have to have this bombastic, massive CGI action set piece for a finale. Jared mentioned it over here in the live stream. The final fight sequence is just boring as fuck. It's just endless CGI robots. Just like, there's that shot of them all in the thing where they're all surrounding whatever the device is to keep the island afloat or whatever the fuck it is. I don't even remember. But just robot after robot after robot after robot, like thousands and thousands of fucking robots, and they're just knocking them away like they're fucking toys. Like, it's just,
yeah,
this film gave us some good things. I won't say that it didn't, but my God, what a fucking disappointment this film was, especially with how great the first Avengers film was. And think about like how great the Winter Soldier is. But the other big problem with this fucking film, Justin, it's the same fucking movie as the first one. The villain's plot. What's the villain's plot? Yeah. Oh, to turn the Hulk against the Avengers. Well, wow. Reach deep into that fucking well, and then what's your ultimate plan? By throwing 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,
And I get it. And I get that's there for the mainstream viewer, the kids in the audience. They want to see all that stuff happen. I get this is a big budget spectacle. This is what kids are going in to see. So I get that they're taking that into consideration when they're making this movie. But for me, the whole ending and the going out of the way to make sure that we see the Avengers save as many people as possible felt shoehorned in. It felt really forced for me because all of the arguments, and yes, the arguments stem from what happened in Man of Steel, a film that you and I both love, a film that I love so much that, yes, in the live stream you can see it, it's tattooed on my fucking arm for life because I love that movie so much. Because of the arguments that people were like, we didn't get to see Superman save anyone. We didn't get to see superheroes save anyone. And this movie, they decided to go out of their way to spend so much time at the end of this movie.
After scene,
every other scene. Oh, we're going to lift this person up and pull this person up. We already obviously assume that these heroes are saving people. They're heroes. We know they're doing it. I don't picture in the back of my head any hero from the DCEU or the MCU letting people fall to their death on purpose, where in this fate, it's just, it's forced. So, I mean, there are so many things about this movie that I enjoy, and I admit that I did give it a second try. And again, there are a lot of fun moments to be had. Like you said, the Hulk versus Hulkbuster scene, still one of the best out of all the Marvel films.
Well, and I've seen that they mentioned a really great one over in the live stream as well. The party scene is great at the beginning of the film.
Oh, it's so fun. I love like the
Ultron's
party scene.
Birth scene. Like the first scene that Ultron shows up in, like that's a great scene.
It's great.
Like that was when leading up to that is good, great. And then the film just immediately fucking nosedived. It was like, meh.
It's not without its merits. Again, this is not us taking the opportunity to shit on this movie just to hate it. There are great things about all of these movies, but in this sense, this is one of the most disappointing because it had forward momentum. You had the first Avengers, which is great, and you had a movie you had two movies before this that were, you know, really enjoyable. I feel bad for Whedon. I understand the pressure now. You don't see him doing any other big budget stuff anymore, do you? No.
He's not even involved in that Batgirl film anymore, so.
He's not doing anything else, so.
Yeah, so.
That's the toll that, yeah.
I guess we've only got one film left to talk about, Justin. This tiny, teeny, itty bitty little film. And then you blow it up.
Almost like an ant.
And you make it
almost
grow.
Like an ant you can step on, right?
Now, I mean, I think I'll say this for Ant-Man. I don't think Ant-Man's a bad film. I think Ant-Man's a very enjoyable film that also, unfortunately, features one of the worst fucking villains.
The worst
in Marvel.
The fucking worst. He's the worst.
He is. This is my worst most, for me. I just give Ronan a tiny bit of an edge there. But Jesus Christ, the Yellow Jacket is fucking garbage.
The reason why he's the worst, because number one, the name of the fucking character is Yellow Jacket. Okay, I get Ant-Man.
I'm going to see you.
I get Ant-Man. Okay, Ant-Man. Okay, whatever. Ant-Man was created in the comics at a time where they would put anything in front of Dash Man, and that would be your hero. So I get it. But seriously? He is one of the most generic weak villains ever put on screen.
It's really sad too. Once again,
I hate the villain in this.
Marvel does this thing, and they do this in Phase 3. We'll continue the discussion when we talk about some of the Phase 3 films, where they cast these really amazing actors as villains in these films. Corey Stoll is a great actor, and then
he is
just nothing, just nothing. But this film does give us Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, which is really, really great. It gives Evangeline Lilly, who is a goddess amongst us all, and she's going to be the Wasp in the next one, which is going to be really, really interesting. And it gives us Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas shows up in this.
Oh, my God. Michael Douglas gives this film a whole gravitas.
A little bit of gravitas. Michael Pena. Yeah, Michael Pena's character is great in this film.
He carries the movie.
Yep.
Let's make no mistake here. Without Michael Pena in this movie,
yep.
All of the comedic stuff. I mean, Paul Rudd's fantastic. He's a great comedy actor, but he wouldn't be anything in this movie without Michael Pena. He's the one that carries this movie. Seriously. There's no question there for me.
Yeah. He added a lot of really, really great humor to it. Like I said, I don't dislike Ant-Man. I think Ant-Man's fine. I think it's okay. I mean, it's better than Age of Ultron was, because at least it doesn't have just a shitload of world building shoveled into it. But it also, it gives you just a pointless CGI blockbuster fucking mega fight at the end between Ant-Man and a villain you just don't give a fuck about. He might as well be fighting a stack of fucking paperweights. Like, you just don't care. Like, you just don't do anything to invest people in these villains. And a lot of people, I've said this a million times, Justin, and we can go back to one of the greatest superhero movies that is or probably will ever fucking be made, in The Dark Knight. With the Joker, you don't have to just give us the character's backstory to make them a great villain, to develop them as a great villain. You have to show them being a menacing, amazing villain. And the problem with Marvel's villains, especially in Phase 2, is they just don't get the screen time that they need to do it.
They don't. And they focus so much on their heroes. And that's why people love the heroes. And I think that's just the formula they've kept with, because they know that the mainstream audience, they're going in, they're buying the shirts with the heroes on it. They're buying the action figures. They're dressing up as the heroes for Halloween. And they get it. Their formula works. And we're not here to hate on that formula, because look at it. This is the biggest thing right now in motion picture history. This is the biggest thing. Marvel movies are the biggest thing. Every single Marvel movie banks. Black Panther just broke records. We're going to be talking about in our phase three conversation.
Yep.
Make no mistake there. But I mean, each one of these movies does well. None of these movies have bombed. And Nick, not one of these movies has done horribly critically. None of them. They've done like weaker critically.
Especially considering phase fucking two. Jesus.
But none of them have like been outright so rotten where people are like, oh, I'm not going to go see that on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever, even with fans. So at this point, like when a movie like Ant-Man comes out, it has the benefit of momentum. Like, well, okay, this is just Ant-Man. But hey, it's got Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas. What? We're going to go see this. And it has a lot of entertaining moments in it. And I really enjoy this movie because of the fact that, like I said earlier, Marvel takes the advantage in saying, well, this is a character that he gets small. He runs through little things and he does this. And visually, it's very entertaining. They do a lot of different things with it. But for me, it's more run of the mill. Like, okay, it's straight entertainment. Like it's not a character that I personally love and care about, even though we do get to see him do some cool stuff in phase three, which we'll talk about on our next minisode. Yep. But for me, Ant-Man is serviceable at best. It's entertaining. I like it. It's fun. But it also has my most hated villain of the MCU, a piece of shit villain, a wasted villain, a villain that literally fights on the top of a toy fucking train and spouts off horrible one-liners as he does so. So enraging to me. And I get a lot of people like, well, what do you expect? It's just a comic book movie. What do you want out of these things? You know what I want? I want people that are competent behind the scenes that are sitting down at that table in the office full of suits saying, you know what? We can make this a little bit better. We can make this a better movie than what people expect it to be. And it's possible.
What kind of film it is. It doesn't matter what kind of film you're making. You can still develop compelling, interesting characters who you actually give a shit about watching. If you don't do that, then you're not going to sell an audience on it. And it shocks me. It fucking staggers me to know like some of the critical ratings of some of these phase two movies. Still, it's baffling to me because some of them are just not good. Thor: The Dark World is just not good. It's just not. Ant-Man is just, Age of Ultron is not good. Not good. But I think, I don't know, whatever it is, but that's it for phase two. Phase two is over. Justin, we're going to move on next week when we do our minisode, even though I'm not going to get a chance to talk about a couple of the films in phase three because I still haven't seen them.
You have to. You actually, here's the only way that I'll do this. I will only do the phase three if you watch the films you haven't seen.
Man, that means I'd have to watch Doctor Strange and Spider-Man before I record next week. Both, I don't even know if I'll have the fucking time to do that.
Both of which are actually shining lights, are both very entertaining. I'll say this much. And our people in the live stream right now, we have a couple in there right now. I'm telling you right now, I will only do our phase three discussion if Nick sees it's two movies. You've got some time. We can push it back if you want. It's up to you. But I want you to see Doctor Strange and Homecoming if we're going to talk about those movies.
Man, I'd have to try to figure out some place in there to fucking squeeze them in. Jared over there in the live stream mentioning the Edgar Wright Ant-Man film that never became a thing. And think about an Edgar Wright Ant-Man movie with how fucking great I know. Hey, man, Edgar Wright is. One of those things
still has his touch to it. It's
just like such a heartbreak, unfortunately. I seen that. Scott LeVar also both over there talking about these films.
But Jared, I'm glad he left. You know why I'm glad he left? Because we got Baby Driver out of it, so I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, alligator mouth towards Baby Driver versus Ant-Man.
Yeah.
That's my point of view on it. So
yeah. And I really, really love Baby Driver. So that was a really, really, really good thing. So yeah, I mean that's it. That's phase two. Oh Jesus, I'm gonna have to fucking try to fit more shit onto my already over full plate.
Just two. If you can, like that's my stipulation. We can't talk phase three if you haven't seen those two. It doesn't make any sense. I can't just sit here and say, Vulture was cool because Michael Keaton played him. He gave the Batman eyes in one scene.
Oh my God.
Hey, it looks like Scott LeVar in the live stream said he wants to watch Spider-Man Homecoming with you together.
Hey, he doesn't live far away. He even
said
he'd
bring some beers for you. He said he'd bring some beers. Actually, he has 4K over there. He can watch it in 4K. You can go over to his place and watch it in 4K.
I don't watch things in 4K. It's an inferior format. It's garbage. Anybody that owns a 4K TV should burn it.
Well, maybe you could talk to Marvel and they'll get you a VHS fucking copy of it and you can watch that shit.
I want a VHS copy that's been played like 1,000 times, so it's got really bad tracking lines and shit on it, and like half of the scenes would be really, really great. But yeah, that's phase two. That's phase two, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think you could talk to any Marvel fan out there. Any Marvel fan. We had Joey DiCarlo from So Wizard. Phase two has his favorite superhero movie of all time, Winter Soldier, and his most hated MCU movie, Age of Ultron. He absolutely was shitting all over it. And Jared Taylor, Winter Soldier is not only the best of phase two, but the best MCU film. It also has the worst film in Thor: The Dark World. So man, this phase, I mean, aside from Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy, which a lot of people, aside from myself, really love, this phase was just forgettable at best, and at worst, a complete fucking disaster. Just complete shit show. So there it is. Let us know. We're going to post this over in the Hopester's Dumpster. Once it posts up, this will go live next Monday, the 23rd, before we record next week's show. So make sure you let us know your thoughts on Marvel Phase 2 as we continue steamrolling, Justin, toward Infinity War.
Infinity War. I'm super pumped for it. We're all about it. Nick is excited, which is a rare occasion when he's excited about a Marvel movie. So yes, we are in rare form here, ladies and gentlemen. Russos
and Black Panther. The Russo brothers and Black Panther. That's the only reason. Because
hey, Nick,
Black Panther was so good, and because the Russos have not let me down in the MCU yet. Most of the MCU has let me down in one way or the other. The Russos have not let me down. They've created two mostly really good films.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you mentioned Black Panther, and I don't know if you know this or not, but I probably haven't mentioned it on the show, but I met Michael B. Jordan, and he touched me.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Yes, Justin did get to be an extra in that amazing show. I think it's about Bassmasters. It's about fishing. Creed 2.
Fishing.
It's going to be Michael B. Jordan versus Ivan Drago's son out on the lake.
They're
both going to be wearing hip waders and shit, like trying to fish. Justin is actually an extra in like a pond scene. He actually hands Michael B. Jordan his bait and says, "Go catch me a big one."
Well, they wanted me to play a fish at first, and I was like, I really don't know how to do that.
You just don't have the range to play a fish. I just don't. You got to really, really get into that mindset. You got to go full method when you try to play a fish. You got to live underwater for a while, swim around, grow some gills. Like, you really got to get into it. Daniel Day-Lewis would grow gills to be a fucking fish. You can do it.
I know. Well, we'll see. But thanks, everyone, so much for listening to our Phase 2 retrospective episode. Tell us. I'll put up a poll. I'll do a poll again.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I'll make Nick fit in
God
on his trip. I'll make him watch the shit on his phone, Doctor Strange and Spider-Man.
Stop ganging up on me.
Thank you, Denny. Denny speaks for the people.
But that's it for this mini-show. So thanks for listening, and thanks to everyone over in the live stream for hanging out with us on this Monday night. It's about midnight. I'm going to watch Scream 4 and drink another beer and eat some Fruity Pebbles and maybe even eat some double-stuffed Oreos. Who the fuck knows what's going to happen?
Just pour the beer and put the Oreos into the bowl with the Fruity Pebbles and just eat it all at once.
Okay, I'll do that. what would we call that, though?
I don't even want to know. You guys are amazing out there. Thank you very much, everybody out there, for listening. Check out the main show that dropped earlier than this, where, I don't know, we winged it mostly because we didn't have anything to talk about except Justin saw that one Joaquin Phoenix movie. I'm not here. Where am I? Am I here? How did he get there? Well, thank you all very, very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen, and we will see you
at the movies. Yeah.
Stinks Network. You can check out more shows like it at oddfixnetwork.com.